Blog Talk Radio.
Alakia, greetings and Hotep. Welcome to the Teta Read Room. You've got your Omi Inca live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome my old friends by saying Habari Ghani. And I'd like to say to those new friends of mine, I'd like to say what's up. And thank you so very much for joining us this evening. You've got your Omi Inca. I am your advocate and I am your advisor. And I am your Maliwa. I am your mother too, here to serve you. Thank you so very much. This particular evening, we have been embarking upon how and where are young ladies rising. We've been talking about women rising throughout the law profession. We've been talking about the law professors and the accomplishments they have made as African Americans. We've been talking about those law students, and they've even come in to entertain us to tell us about their cumbersome day-to-day drudgery ability to cut through the bureaucracy in a male-dominated profession. We've talked about their daily lifestyles and what they had to go through in order to get admitted into law school, and not to mention the thousands of dollars that they have to pay to accomplish that particular curriculum. Now, ladies and gentlemen, because this is Black History Month for women, we want to call it Black History Month because we're going to black our story. Now, I don't know if you've heard the Jamaican song, they have Black My Story, means there is his story and our story, but you are going to have to black your story because that way you tell it from a perspective of the Black man and woman. So today we're going to black our story for Black History Month for women. We're going to talk about those accomplishments that Black women are making. We know that many of the non-Melanite women across the diaspora are making accomplishment. By golly, they're out there already. Susan B. Anthony made sure that the women could have their right to vote, even when the slaves were still in slavery. They assisted and aided us through slavery. But right now, we're talking about Black women. Where are they rising at? And where are they coming up into the profession? They're coming up in the Midwest, people. They're coming up right here in the Midwest. And some of those women are coming up in the industry of music as well. That's right. In the music industry, would you believe it? They're coming up and they're owning their own shares within record labels. As a matter of fact, we are going to be talking to a few ladies this month who are not only just participating and being songstress and writers, but they're owning a share of the market. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, I am an entertainer, and I'm not Cedric the Entertainer. Don't get it twisted. I am an entertainer in the area of storytelling, international storyteller and poet, as well as a gospel singer who toured all over Germany and tore down the walls of Berlin when we first brought in the ability for the Russians and the Germans to communicate and to worship together in gospel music. But today we will be talking about a different genre. We'll be talking about a segment in the hip-hop industry, a little bit of different secular. As you know, we are jazz singers around here and blues singers, but we're going to be talking about those people who are being signed by a record label, what is their life like? What is a day-to-day cumbersome life like for someone who decides to moonlight and to work a regular 9-to-5 and hold down an entrepreneurship of a record label? Today we've decided to bring to you one of the finest here in Midwest. We have Mrs. Kahima Jahid, and she will be talking to us about her organization. She'll be giving us a little background about the things that she had to do to move into the industry. She is from Chicago, Illinois, a native from Chicago, Illinois. And if you're reading the billboards, go out and take a look at the billboards. We have a rather interesting bios of her accomplishments. And as you join us today, we'll be talking about some of the things she's doing. Right now, I'd like to just give you a brief history of her, and she'll come on and talk more in depth. She is an entertainer, and she is very much in love with the music industry. She started out being involved in going back to school as an educator and picking up a concentrated training in the marketing area to give her a business background so that she could accustom herself to understand how the market worked. Now, she did this, ladies and gentlemen, while working a 9-to-5. I have to applaud her for being involved in a 9-to-5 and setting up her entrepreneur business. Now, she actually founded and came up with the Emblazon Entertainment Incorporation. And this is a record label that she actually founded, and she signs on various constituents to her record label, ladies and gentlemen. And she's a lover of music, and she'll be talking about the genres that she has been signing. Now, we had hoped to play some of her music today, and near the end, we're going to see if we can still get those tracks on. If not, we have already petitioned Mrs. Kahima to come back again and to do a part two segment. So we will have plenty of time to get those tracks on. Right now, we want to take a station identification, ladies and gentlemen. We have to go and pay some bills and do some housework. But before we do that, I'd like to say hello to our guest and welcome her aboard for the first time. We want to give her a drum roll as she comes into our stage for the first time. Let's welcome her by giving her a drum roll. Mrs. Kahima Jahid. We'd like to welcome you, Mrs. Kahima, and we will bring you right into the atmosphere, and then we'll go to station identification. How are you, 708, or am I speaking to Kahima?
Yes, this is Kahima Jahad. Thank you.
Kahima Jahad, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome, welcome to the Care to Read Room, and thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a station identification, and we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. So lock those dials in, Lil G, at 646-478-0270. Lock the terminals in and keep it right there. I said keep it right there. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. As you know, we are winners. Stay tuned.
Y'all ready?
Say yeah.
And thank you so very much for being a part of our show this evening. We're going to have our chat rooms open for those of you who would like to chat in the chat room. We welcome you to do so. You can put your statements up on the chat board. And if you have any questions, we'd like for you to do that also. Now, we're going to save our questions to the end because we're going to talk a little bit with Mrs. Kahima and have her tell us a little bit more about herself. And then we'll open it up for questions and answers near the end. And right now, I'd like to also just go right back and go in a little bit more details about who she is and who you have before you in this particular atmosphere. She is one of the few up-and-coming women in the music industry who is currently rising in the music business here in the Midwest, right in Chicago. Kahima is from Chicago, Illinois. She joins me to please join me to welcome her in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. Kahima Jahi plans to also join us to talk a little bit with us about the day-to-day responsibilities of owning a record label. And I'll be talking a little bit about the pros and cons and what goes on in the boardroom and what happens when you are managing this large amount of people. And we were also asked a little bit about, in today's time, is it difficult for her as a female working in a more predominantly male field? Now, she also is a graduate, ladies and gentlemen. She graduated from Columbia College in Chicago, where she earned her BA in marketing and communication management with hopes of using her degree in music business. Now, she also has a nickname, and I'm not sure she calls herself Hag. If that's not correct, she'll correct me. She earned that name, and affectionately from her friends, she earned that name. And as she trailblazed and created and founded the Emblazon Entertainment Incorporated in 2003, that's when she first set up her record label. And when she founded that idea, it was an idea that hopefully she'll be able to represent many genres of music and to rejuvenate the once and well-known record roll in Chicago. And that was her main purpose behind founding this record label. And she'll come on to tell us a little bit more about herself and the specifics of those types of people she is signing to her label, the kind of music they're doing. And hopefully we will be able to have her music play for you on part two. Now, she has agreed to come back, and she will join us on another day as well, on the 12th of this month, and she'll join us at 5:30 p.m., so you'll be able to come back, and we'll try to dedicate that to playing mostly of the music of those that she signed on. Now, ladies and gentlemen, help me in welcoming her to the stage. Mrs. Kahima, you have the stage, and we welcome you. So please tell us more about yourself, and be a little bit specific about the day-to-day responsibility of being a record label owner. Can you talk to us? We want to get up front and close with you. You have the atmosphere.
Okay, thank you. My name is Hakima Jihad. I'm CEO of Emblazon Entertainment, which is an independent label out of Chicago. I know you mentioned Hak. That's what my friends call me, is a short name for Hakima. So you said if I needed to stress that, it is Hak, and that is what my close friends and family do call me, and thanks for sharing that, because that's special to me. Those who are close to me call me that, so feel free throughout this interview to call me Hawk at any time. It just makes me feel right at home. First of all, I want to thank you so much for that wonderful introduction that you did. It just made me feel so much closer to all my ancestors who have paved the way for me in this life and also in the music industry as well, so thank you so much for filling
and you
up
know what?
My heart.
Thank
so much
you.
Love.
Thank you, Hakima, for stopping me to talk about the ancestors. The ancestors told you to tell me that. I haven't even paid homage to them yet. But see, you're here to remind me. Let's take a moment, ladies and gentlemen, and let's go over to the throne of grace, because Kahima has just reminded me. Let's lift up our hands as if we're in a position to receive. We must pour libations to our ancestors, and we must offer them up praise. So we offer up the ancestors today praise, but first, to the first person in our life, God Almighty, and we call him Ola Dulamare, who is the God of the African race, and we lift him up high, and we lift our hands, and we say, I say to Oludulamare, may he reside within our being at all times. We also lift up our mother spirit, which my mother spirit is Yamanye, and I like to say I say to my mother spirit, Yamanye, for my mother, Claritin, and my father, Obatala, who represents my father, Robert Jenkins, and I say Ashe to Obatala. As we pour libations, ladies and gentlemen, you ought to be pouring libations in your home. We do this on a routine basis, so it's not something brand new. It is a customary procedure that Africans do in order to honor those who have made their transition. Now, if you have loved ones who have made their transition, you ought to be pouring libation, or if you have heroes and sheroes, you could call their names out as well. I like to pour libations to the West, and I say Ashe. I like to pour libations to the East, and I say Ashe. I like to pour libations to the North, and I say Ashe. Finally, I pour libations to the South, and I say Ashe. I call on the name of Shekez Diops. I said, Shekez Diops, write another novel for us and lead us. I call on the name of Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman, lay your weapons down and come out from behind that tree. We're going with you. You don't have to pull your pistol. And I call on the name of Dr. Martin Luther King with his wife, Sweet Coretta King. I said, lead us in a vision. This time we'll be fully awake and we will not be anesthetized. I say, come back, Dr. Carruthers, and join us in this great circle of life. I ask you to reconnect yourself to us. Dr. John Henry Clark, come back and give us directions for the future again. Joe Lewis, come and knock out oppression. Come and knock out racism, impartiality. We ask you to please come back and join us. And I say, Madam C.J. Walker, please come and walk that walk and straighten things out amongst our people again. Once again, we ask that you will reunite our women during this month, for Women's Month, that we will come together in harmonious love affair, that we will show the people how we love one another because of the sisterhood. Let us come together as we call forth our ancestors who are yet in the lagoon, who are traveling down a path and have not made it here. For those unknowing ancestors who we don't know of, we call them back. And the ones that we do know, we call out Clara Mae Jenkins, Robert Jenkins, Essalie Pope. We call out our heroes and sheroes and ask them to reconnect their melanin back to the greater circle as we stand on their shoulders. We know we can tap into their melanin because their melanin is available to the energy frequency. Now let us tap in and take in the energy so that we might be able to stand on their shoulders, because we're the sum total of why they came. And we thank you for the opportunity. Lord, we ask that you will search our hearts, that there be any wicked ways there, cast them aside. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. On thee do we wait, and on thee do we beseech for help. Guide us on the path, not upon the path of those who have gone astray, but on the path of the righteous one. And we say, Ashe and amen. And Hakima, if you have names that you would like to call out of your loved ones, please go ahead and do so.
No, I'll pass on that.
Okay, Ashe. And we know that Ashe means so be it, so let it be done. And we ask the ancestors to be present here today. The Holy Spirit is definitely welcome here today. And we greet you, Holy Spirit, in the name of the only God we know, Oludulamare, and our black prophet, Oromola. And we call these people forth because they have not left us. Their energy is still within the atmosphere and their frequency. Amen. Thank you so much. Now I will give Hakima back the floor, and thank you so much, Hakima, for reminding me of my responsibility. Thank you. You have the floor.
Okay, again, my name is Hakima Jihad. I'm CEO of Emblaze Entertainment. I guess I would say my journey started from the womb. I recall my mother always playing Isley Brothers and the Supremes. I mean, she played some of everybody. When I was a baby, when she was cleaning up, she played that. You know, when she was happy, she played music. When she was sad, she played music. So I would say just the environment that I was in growing up was one of serious music lovers. My uncle used to sit me down and talk to me about music, and he would tell me, don't just listen to the music. Turn the LP over and look at who the producer was. Look at who the writer was. Look at who the arranger was so that you can fully understand the music. That was where I learned my appreciation for music and understanding that the music doesn't start with the artist. It starts with that team that supports that artist. So early on, I had an understanding of how important it was to have a team behind the artist in order for that artist to be brought to the forefront for music enjoyment. The desire to start my record label came while I was at Columbia College. Just being in an environment of a lot of artists or striving artists, whether they were striving to get into journalism or striving to get into film, there was always someone striving to get into the industry some kind of way. There is where I learned a lot about how the music industry actually works. And there is where I decided to actually say, you know, I'm going to start my own label. At that time, I didn't start it. I started it much later once I finished school. But I actually met one of my Mason brothers named Lewis Harwood Jr., and we decided to make this real. So it's not just me running this label. It's also my business partner, Lewis Harwood Jr., and also the rest of my team, which consists of Jody Doan, which is our label executive, Lanaya Newton, which is our management rep, Darius Stroud, which is our A&R rep, DJ Freddie B., was also a part of our team. He brings that DJ expertise. Also, Jacob Toombs, who brings that management expertise, and Jacob is out of Florida. So I just want to give a shout-out to my team because as a CEO of a company, you can't do it by yourself. You actually have to have a team. So everybody brings their expertise.
You are so right, Hakeema. You're so right. And I am so proud of you for having a communal aspect of this business and understanding that it takes not just a village, it takes a tribe. And I just applaud you for realizing that, because some of us think that we're an island and that we're out there by ourselves. And as soon as we think we're out there by ourselves, then that red carpet under us, people are always trying us and want to pull it from under you. But as long as you got a posse, they're like your spirits and your angels who are positioned in place like the watchman on the wall. So I applaud you for knowing that and first of all, giving homage to them, because without them, you're not a team. You got to have that tribal effect, because when you go out there, you got to present yourself as a united front. So I applaud you for that.
Thank you so much.
Now, I have a question to ask you. Mm-hmm. You mentioned something about your one of your friends being a Mason. You said one of your Mason friends. Is that what you said?
Right. My business partner Lewis and I, we actually met through the order about Mason Star, and we happened to.
Are you Eastern
yes.
Star?
Yes.
Okay.
Ma'am.
That's beautiful, because I was involved with some of the Masons when I was overseas, and they asked me to be a part of the Worthy Matrix. I wasn't familiar with the order, but I did meet with all of them and spent a lot of time with them over in Germany. That's beautiful. Tell us a little bit more about what that's like, and are you involved to the point where some of them are assigned to your label, some of the people that's in the order?
Well, no, it's just pretty much the order is, you know, it's a social organization. Like I said, I met my partner there, and we were able to talk about things that we love, and in the conversation we discovered that we both love music, and it just grown into, you know, hey, you know, I had aspirations to have a label, you have the aspiration to have a label, let's do this, let's make it happen, and it's been on and popping from there. At this present time, we have two wonderful artists that we're actually promoting right now. One in particular is our neo soul artist, Frankie Parker, which the world is starting to know, and they love her. I mean, she's really doing very well on Django Internet Radio, getting fans
uh-huh.
every day. She's doing well. We have our rapper, Rock Boy Bam, which is the DJs is showing them so much love right now. So I just, too, want to give a shout-out to my team for their day-to-day hard work to make this happen, because it's not easy to break an artist.
Now, where are they touring at? Are they touring here in the United States currently?
Well, yeah, they're actually doing local shows at this point. Not until the summer we'll be getting them nationwide. Not yet on an international market yet. You really want to master your community and you also want to manage, also want to take advantage of the opportunities that you have throughout the nation, and then take it overseas.
Now, what is the genre? You said one is hip hop, and what is the other one?
One is neo soul, and believe it or not, neo soul is very big overseas, but they're very big here in the States, in particular in the southern market, like, you know, Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, Georgia. These are states that really love soul music. So these are areas where our artist Frankie Parker is really growing in popularity. So.
Okay. Now, are you gifted in any area of writing music, lyrics, or are you a songstress?
No, I don't sing. I mean, at what point when I was at Columbia, I was a rapper. And it was when that learning, I mean, being able to be an artist, you understand the artist side, but it's a cool way to learn the business side. In doing that, I learned that what I really wanted to do was behind the scenes. I let a friend talk me into rapping some lyrics that he wrote. However, I rewrote the lyrics, and that's how my rap career began. But once my producer told me, well, are you willing to get into this business? And I told him, you know, I'm willing to work hard. And he says, no, that's not what I mean. I quickly learned that it's very difficult for a woman in this business to be successful and to get their own talent alone. So I was destined to prove that a woman could be successful in this business without getting on her knees or her back.
I understand you. I definitely understand you right there. So tell me, what are the pros and cons that you encounter that makes it so difficult, and what are some of the gains that you feel that it's worth it all after you've put in the hard work?
Okay. There are some pros and cons because, you know, as a business owner, you know, you're striving to work a business for yourself, but at the same time you're striving to get to the point where you can employ others. Putting other people to work is much greater than just the idea of starting your own business.
Employ others, now, is it better to make those employees contracted 1099 in employees, or do you bring them on like a W-2 and actually put them on your payroll?
Well, I mean, it really depends on your business structure. You know, I won't go more in depth on how I should have my employees set up, but I just will say that as a business owner, it's more than just being able to work for self. It's also being able to have a vision that you can get someone else to believe in, but also give them an opportunity to shine and make a living out of it as well. So my goal is not just to be a business owner and to push music, but it's also to help give other people opportunities to be what they want to be in this industry as well. From a woman's standpoint, in this industry that is male-dominated, women have a very difficult time because in this industry, it's not really regulated. So it's a little different than any other business industry due to that fact it's not regulated. But it's hard for a woman because when you're dealing with a lot of men, they'll try you. They'll try to see if, you know, if you ain't strong enough for this business, they'll break you. And if you're not disciplined enough for this business, they will take the business aspect out of it and make it personal or a sexual relationship. But as a woman, you got to be strong. You got to be focused. You got to let them know this is about the business, and you got to keep your eye on the prize. It's really a spiritual struggle.
Of course, you said it wasn't regulated, but there probably are laws that are currently being made as we speak here today. But what about the laws? Is it best that a woman goes and learn something about this profession and learn the laws? And how might the laws be able to defend her? Which particular laws, like case law, that she might bring if she's in a litigation where her money's tied up and she can't get money out? There are some type of laws that will help protect her if she has to go toe-to-toe with somebody in a litigation, isn't it?
No, but you have contractor law. Yeah, you have them. But, I mean, it's a little different. I mean, if you're in the banking industry and the bank doesn't do right by the customers, then you have an organization that'll come shut it down. That ain't the case in the music business. I mean, if I do wrong by my artist, there ain't no organization that's going to come and shut my label down. You know what I'm saying? If I skip out on somebody's money, there's no organization that's going to say, well, because of this, you can no longer practice in this industry. Like it is if you're a lawyer and you fail to uphold the laws of being a lawyer, then you lose your license.
Okay.
It's not like that in the music industry. It's a lot of people that are shady. They know that you have a desire to be successful, and they'll use that against you. So that's what I mean by not regulated is Okay, you might have to take somebody to court, but it takes money to take them to court to fight them. So you become, you start to lose more money. And not to go off in that direction, but I just want to make that clear that it's not regulated. So if someone does, if you go, if you start to do business with people and they're not right, it's not going to stop them from continuing to do something to other people. You pretty much learn as you go, and you learn the hard way in this business. This cutthroat business is hardcore. It's not for the meat. I tell you that it's not for the meat.
You say also that if you build a good character and you make your reputable, where you have character and you build ethical background, so that people know you by virtue of word of mouth. Because I think in this industry, when I first came into the industry, in the gospel industry, I noticed that your actual rep goes before you, and people know about you before they even meet you. And if you've done something so terribly wrong, it will get out there. Bad news travels fast, so it gets out there, and people tend to want to judge you by first impressions. But if you've developed a scene in the background, kept a clean record, and tried to stay ethical, then people also will have such a rep of you that they will just about honor you when they come in front of you, because they've heard so much about you. So it is good to build a reputation. And I tell people, it's one thing that I will fight you for, and that's my reputation. You will not take my good name and disrespect it and smear it. Because people fight over money, material things. I will let you have material things. I will give you material things, but you will not ruin my name. That I will fight you for, because that's all you have is a good name. Wouldn't
that's
you
true.
Say?
Yes, and you do. And as you say, your reputation, it goes, too, to referral, because people will refer you. I mean, I have people who refer artists to me all the time, and they say, Hakeem, I know you're going to take care of me. People feel comfortable referring artists to me, or referring musicians to me, or whoever, or somebody, and they say, this person wants to work in the industry. Can you talk to them? Maybe you can help them out, or maybe they can come work with the be a part of the team. So, I mean, you're right. It goes a long way. It goes further, because eventually that bad reputation catches up with you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the other thing is that you got to be true to thine own self, because if you can't live with yourself and you feel like you can't even look yourself in the mirror, and at one point you don't have the ability to go on stage and you can't perform. I don't care what amount of money they're paying you. If you have become a self-indictor of yourself and you take a checklist of what's going on, and you're foul, and you feel like, I need to go somewhere and get me together before I can go in the States, because you're telling a story, and it has to be replicable, and people have to really believe that that story is coming across. So in the music industry, I've seen where people have double-crossed each other, and they have pushed for the front slot, wanting to get up front be the main lead singer. I've seen all this kind of stuff just in the gospel industry, and at the same time, when you're moonlighting, you feel like, I don't have a lot vested because I have another job. How do you feel about being fully vested when you work a 9-to-5? Are you fully vested, or can you be fully vested? Or what do you think? Can you do both of them and be fully invested in it?
Yeah, I mean, this is first like any other company. I mean, if you start a bakery, I mean, either you got a lump sum of money that you start off with, or you working to fund your craft. Even though it's a music industry, it's still a business like any other business. You still have to run it as a business. So, I mean, it's the same whether, you know, whatever, regardless of what business that you're in, as long as you approach it as a business, then you'll have the same practice as any other industry.
I see. What about going on tour? What do you have to do with some of your young artists that you take on tour? Do you have to babysit? Do you have to hold their hand? Is there a lot of discipline training going on, and do you run seminars for your people?
Well, I mean, it's funny that you mentioned seminars. What we have coming up quarterly will be roundtable discussions about the music business and also about the music business scene in Chicago. When you're dealing with artists, it's difficult because you're talking about, you know, entertainers are emotional people. So their approach to the business is emotional. The artists sometimes, when they approach this on an emotional standpoint, they miss out on the business standpoint of this business. It's a business side, but it's also an entertaining side. Artists sometimes miss that. I would say when you approach it as this is what I love and I'm emotional about my music, your decisions might not be the best. That's why it's important to have a team around you to help give you a different perspective, because our artists love their music. They'll give it away for free, but you can't eat if you give your music away for free. And then your music is so valuable, you don't know. People will pay for it. People are willing to pay for good music. But as an artist, because you love your music so much and you want everyone to have it, some artists will give their music away for free. I've come across that a lot, where artists are, I got a mixtape, I'm giving it out. That's beautiful, but that can't be your normal practice for the next 5, 10, 15 years. You can't eat that way.
You're right. You are so right. And you are right on point with that, Kahima, because I know when I first started writing and I did my spoken word, I kept giving out demos and demos. And I begin to realize by the time I give out all these demos, you know, when they go to the website, most people would already have a copy of that track. So I had to come to grips with the fact that I needed a stern manager that would actually tell me that being gracious enough to give everything away, you've got to have something that's worthwhile paying you for it, because that way they'll respect what you're doing, your art. So I had to learn that, you know, literally the work that I put out, you know, it's energy. And every time you put the energy out, you should be paid for the work. So you're so right. And that's why it's so very important to have record labels and managers, because when you get these solo people and solo artists that go out there and don't have that kind of discipline, they will go bankrupt faster because they don't realize the value of building a business and putting the money back in there. And nowadays with music, you see a lot of good songsters, but they have no management behind them. And when I was in Europe, I had the best of managers, and I can't seem to find that here in the States. And I know that's very important. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about some of the music and the lyrics. Are you looking for a certain type of talent or a certain type of music lyrics? Because with our new generation, they're looking for answers. They're looking for the lyrics to tell a story. How are you about selecting your artists? Do they have to be, the lyrics have to be right on point, and does it have to be directed at a certain group of people? Or do you work with artists that are singing to different genres of groups of people?
When it comes to creativity, you really can't put a label on it. You really can't put it in a box. It's how that artist sells that music. I mean, you can have somebody talking about cars, and you can have somebody talking about love. But if that artist sells that car, it'll make people love cars who don't even care too much about cars. But it's the spirit in that song. It's the creativity in that song that'll make you say, that's it, I love it. And then you can have somebody write about love, and they don't sell it to you. You don't buy it. You're like, I'm not really not feeling that song. We look for artists that they are their music. If love is not in you, I'm not looking for artists to sing love if that's not in you. I want life to come out of you. I want your life to come out of you, because that's what makes good music. I mean, our slogan is, you know, we're the provider of the hottest entertainment. We want the artist to be hot. It doesn't matter what genre. As long as that artist's personality, that emotion, that feeling, those experiences coming from that artist, that's what makes them marketable, and that's what we look for. I mean, I'm not a big rap fan, but if that artist is selling me on that song, I will be rocking with the rest of them, with the 19-20-year-olds, because that artist made me feel it. I like the soul music, you know, but if the artist really not feeling his own music, no matter how much I love soul, I'm not going to feel it, and I'm not going to want to push it. In order for me to sign an artist, or anyone on our team to sign an artist, we have to be a fan of that artist. If we're not a fan of your music, if you don't make us feel it, then we really can't promote and market you.
And you said it right on the head. And ladies and gentlemen, we have Mrs. Hakima Jahid here speaking with us, and she's telling the bucket neck of truth, because you've got to have that soul, and you've got to have that little something. And when you sing that song, you've got to make others accept it as their own. Take ownership of that song. So we know about good music in this room. And right about now, Kahima, I am just going to tell you that you are welcome to come back here. We've already put you on the screen to come back on the 12th to speak and to play some of your tracks. So our time is just about up here. We'd like to thank you so very much for joining us today and being our guest here in the Care to Read Room. We know we're winners. We know we're on top. And the music is going to be popping in this room on the 12th, ladies and gentlemen. You do want to join us and lock your dials in and make sure your terminals are set for the right one, because Mrs. Fahima is going to be back here talking to us about what makes music hot and also revealing her new tracks, and we're going to have them lined up for you. We didn't want to rush them in here and mess up the whole show because we were trying to get those in late, but we will have them for you on part two segment. So join us, ladies and gentlemen, as we go out of here and we sing to the tune that we are winners. We know we're winners. So come on and sing that song with me as we go out of here.
Y'all ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you tomorrow. Please join us tomorrow. Thank you.
Say
thank
yes!
You, Mr.
black dirt, and we're a winner, and everybody knows.